Well, the Fed just made a major admission about the future of the United States, the future of the United States dollar, and where we're going with inflation. So there it was really a tale of two different Americas, right? The have and have nots in the Fed meeting this week. And I think the big takeaway now that the dust has settled is that the Fed is admitting inflation is here to stay. We are comfortable with 3, 4, 5, 6% inflation, and forget about that 2% target that we had been eyeing for a number of years. Forget about it. Jerome Powell admitting this week that that is the case, that we are now fine with higher inflation. The real concern, of course, is now to lower interest rates. And the Fed made an announcement this week that they're going to be slashing interest rates about 3 times this year, which is great news for real estate investors, right? That's great news if you're looking to buy properties and looking to refinance and all of those things, right? With the Fed rate, of course, everything follows the Fed rate. So slashing of interest rates is great news. Gold surged on that as a result, of course. We saw Wall Street surging on that, of course. We saw a huge number of home builders, of course, start building homes over the past, starting in February. So new home starts exploded in February. So we're going to see a lot more in the real estate space exploding, as I predicted we would over the coming months. However, this is an admission by the Fed that those that are not in the have phase of America, those are in the have-not phase of the United States, are going to be dealing with higher prices for just about everything. Going to the grocery store, paying rent, all of those things will be eaten away thanks to inflation. All of the ability of the U.S. dollar, purchasing power of the U.S. dollar is being eaten away, and the Fed admits it's okay with that. That was the admission from Jerome Powell this week, that we are totally okay with that. And if it moves up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7%, that's going to be okay. So they're basically throwing in the towel. I watched his speech a couple of times, gone through the data on it, talked with a number of my high-level investor friends, and this is how they're reading it, that this is what's exactly happening right now with the moves towards a permanent sort of inflationary period, fine with the U.S. dollar being worth less and the cost of everything that we rely on going up, that's okay. And by the way, Wall Street makes a lot more money when that happens, but it squeezes Americans in the most profound ways in, you know, paying higher gas prices, grocery store prices. It's spilling over all across North America, even into Canada. Go to a Costco. A video going viral this weekend shows a woman going into a Costco, and it's so much, the prices are just astronomical. It's just mind-blowing right now. So that's what we're facing in the United States. Lower interest rates. So for an investor, that's great, right? That makes me happy as an investor. But the value of a U.S. dollar is going down thanks to inflation, sort of a permanent inflationary period. So then what do you do about it as an investor, right? We can sit back and throw our hands up and say, well, this is proof the Fed is destroying the United States. They want us to move towards a digital dollar, and we just have to live with it. Or we can be smart about it and say, okay, how can I make smart investments right now, whether it's in gold and silver and real estate, things that are appreciating at a higher rate than inflation, that are also producing cash flow, which are also a hedge against this mess? Or do we sit back and have our money sitting in U.S. dollars, which is losing value thanks to inflation? So these are real world choices we're going to need to be making over the next few months. And as this inflationary period persists, you're hearing it right from the Fed's mouth. We're okay with higher inflation. This is Bidenomics working for you right now. By the way, I've co-authored a brand new report that there's certain pieces of this I'm not allowed to talk about on YouTube. We know that they suppress this information and they block it. I put together a whole special report on the Fed's meeting and what this means for inflation. I have charts in there. I've got really important data that I want all of you to download. Just go to morrisinvest.com/fed. You can download it for free. But again, I can't share certain things here on YouTube. They love to suppress certain things. And even if we talk about certain things, they block and downrank us. It's really, really unbelievable, this age of censorship that we're in right now. But of course, if you know that these big companies, these big tech companies are run by these globalists, essentially, of course, they don't want us talking about these things. When we talk about digital currency, when we talk about the decline of the U.S. dollar, they love to downrank us and not allow us to talk about it. This is exactly what they do. Specifically, we talk about digital currency. I mean, this we know that this is where we're moving. We're moving to digital identification cards, biometrics, and a digital currency. And if you talk out against it, you are the enemy. I guess we are the enemy around here, but we're going to continue to educate you on it. So go grab this free report. I put a lot more data in here that we co-authored, our team did. So just go to morrisinvest.com/fed and download that free report. We'll have a link in the description for you as well. But hey, today's our Q&A episode as well, where we take your questions and I attempt to answer them here on the show. I don't know if you guys are suffering like so many people right now with allergies. Holy smokes. It feels like my head is in like a vise from all of the pollen. Oh, it's just been crazy. So my heart goes out to all of you if you're dealing with the same stuff right now out there. So just allow me as my brain fog lifts here as I try to get through to some of your questions here. You want to leave us a voicemail question, go to our website, morrisinvest.com, and click on the microphone icon that's on the right side of your screen there, and I'll attempt to answer your questions here. Here's one from Jared.
Hey, Clayton. Myself and my wife have been in real estate business for about a year now. I've done mostly wholesaling. We've had some successes in that. With that, we've met a lot of people, a lot of landlords. We recently had an offer from a landlord that wants to sell off all his properties, all or nothing. He wants to sell it in bulk because he wants to reinvest that money in some vacation rooms. He has 45 properties, close to 50 doors. We've done all the numbers on it. What he's wanting for the properties for the bulk deal is a good price. We will for sure make money off of it. It's basically turnkey. We'll be taking over his business, buying his business, and we will start profiting off that monthly as soon as we buy it. I mean, he's wanting a fair price. So my question is we're having a hard time of how to approach either financial institutions or investors to help us loan the money to buy these. Because we are so green and this is such a big multi-million-dollar deal that we're worried that nobody's going to take us seriously. So my question, do you know of any institutions or banks or investors or anything? You've said in the past that if the deal's there, the money will come, and that's where we're at. I mean, the deal's there. We're just having a hard time of where the next move is. So any help is appreciated, and thank you so much for all your content.
All right. Great question. Let's get into it. So first of all, let me just rattle off a few companies that I've worked with in the past. Kyle Jacy, great guy, good friend. Kyle Jacy out of New Jersey and the Jacy Capital Group, Jasey. Reach out to them for funding on this deal. I would talk to them. You could also talk to Direct Lending Partners. That's DLP, Direct Lending Partners, and have a conversation with them. I've worked with them in the past, and I had a multi-million dollar credit line set up with them. So Natalie and I could buy properties quickly and use their service pretty quickly. That's more of a hard money company, but give JC a call, give Kyle a call and talk to them about that part of it. Now, let me just get down to nuts and bolts. So on the properties themselves, first of all, don't worry about being green. Okay. Everyone has to start somewhere, right? And money always flows to a good deal, okay? So as long as the numbers make sense, you've run the numbers, I would definitely bring in somebody who is a real estate expert that you know in the, it sounds like they're all residential homes. So they're not commercial properties. They're all residential homes. So just make sure that the numbers make sense. Make sure that your internal rate of return looks good with financing built in. Like all of the properties that we do at Morris Invest for our clients, we want to hit a minimum 18% internal rate of return. And we build all new construction properties. So when a client works with us, it's fully turnkey, but it's full service. So we're making sure that everything is taken care of and the team is, making sure that the property management has the tenant placed in the property and is working with them. We have a customer service team, customer service liaison that works back and forth. So everything is taken care of for them for the life of their investment, not just like, here's your keys, bye-bye. So 18% internal rate of return, but then goes up from there, right? That's the minimum that we try to hit with financing and all of your costs associated with that. Okay. That's our goal. So let me just put that out there. Make sure your numbers are good. Okay. Make sure you're in a landlord friendly state. I'd also want to know why this particular investor is getting out of it. Okay. because if it's a great deal, I just really want you to cross your T's and dot your I's. Now, the reason I'm saying this, I'm speaking from experience. I bought a large package of properties a number of years ago. I did it as a test. Okay. I did it as a test, but also for content here on the show to take people through that entire process. So I cataloged the entire process here on the show. And I bought it in a state that I would never invest in again. I bought it in the state of New Jersey. So we bought a big package of properties. We were told one thing by the owner. We ran the numbers. We did our due diligence. We had inspections, all of that. And then we had some problems. Okay. There were some things that were not disclosed to us. There were some things that we discovered later that were out of his control. They were sort of out of his control and all of that and everything. So it was not necessarily... it wasn't like he was duping us. And then he actually worked with us to help correct some of the issues. Okay. But my point is, I want you to make sure you're doing independent inspections on the properties so you don't get any sudden surprises. I would definitely find out the property management situation. This to me is the most important piece of this. Was he managing the properties himself? And now you're going to be managing the properties yourself? Because that is a big red flag. And that was the biggest problem that we faced. He was running and as acting as property manager, and he had a great relationship with all of these tenants to the point where if they were late one month, it was okay as long as they got caught up. And he had this like back and forth friendly relationship with the tenants. I didn't want to have anything to do with that. I'm a businessman. I want to have a property management team handling it. I don't want to be getting phone calls from a tenant that's complaining and late on payments because of some issue. I don't want to hear about it. You know, let the property management team deal with it. So I would definitely have some deep conversations with the property management team who's managing these 40 or 50 properties. And I would ask them to see leases. I want to see leases and I want to see documentation, of course, of rent rolls over the last year or go back 3 years. I want to see rent rolls for the past 3 years for these properties to make sure that they legitimately are cash flowing. Basically, I want you to protect yourself from top to bottom. Okay. The money piece will come. If the deal is there, you know, these independent companies, these hard money lenders, they will be able to fund these things with their eyes closed, you know, if the numbers make sense. So, but I just want you to protect yourself and make sure that all of your T's are crossed and I's are dotted. And don't, he's telling you one thing. That's great. He may be the greatest guy in the world. He may sound like he's the greatest guy in the world. But I want you to, you know, trust but verify everything he's saying, okay? And if there's any red flags, like I just would ask him, why is he letting this package of 50 properties going? He's reinvesting it. He's taking it and he's going to reinvest that money in probably a 1031 exchange into some vacation rentals, you said, right? Why? Like what, why is he a tired landlord? What about it? Like, why is he selling? I want to, you know, as a wholesaler, the most important question is the motivation, right? We need to get down to the real why. If he's like, oh, I just want to reinvest it into some vacation rentals. You know, as a wholesaler, we teach you, right? That's not the real motivation. What's the real motivation for why he's selling this? If you identify that, then you'll get to the crux of the matter. So thank you, Jared. Good luck with it. And let us know and keep us updated on your progress on it. All right, our next question.
Hi, Clayton. This is Patricia again, upstate New York. I read somewhere about some rule, I forget what it was called, I don't know, the 25% or the 75% rule, where if you buy an income-producing property, you may be able to qualify for a higher mortgage because of that income-producing part of it. And I was wondering if you could expand on that for me and explain how that might work. I am almost 70 years old. And I need to create some additional income, if at all possible. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks so much for the question. I'm not quite sure, Patricia, that I totally understood your question, but it sounds like you're trying to use investment income to qualify for a separate mortgage. And if that's the case, you absolutely can use investment income as part of your income that you're showing a bank that, hey, not only do I have a W-2 job, but I've also got these assets that are producing monthly income. And, you know, I'd like to qualify for this mortgage. Now, I've never read or heard how that's going to make you a more, you know, a better client for the bank. to work with. What they're going to do is they're going to ask for proof that you own these assets, you own a rental income, you own a rental property. They're going to want to see 2 to 3 years of bank statements showing that you're actually receiving monthly cash flow from those tenants in that property. So if this is something you're hoping to do to buy an investment property now in order to qualify for a separate mortgage, again, I don't quite follow you, but you're going to have to show a track record of rent. And also, if you're using that property, they're going to look and say, okay, well, the value of this asset, they're going to take 25% basically off of that, like loan to value ratio, because if you're using income from something you also have a mortgage on, well, they're going to then also reduce the amount that they're going to allow that to be used towards the new mortgage. So, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm just not sure I quite understand what you're saying. You're trying to buy a home that you want to live in, or you're trying to buy in another investment property. But again, at the end of the day, if you're trying to use investment income for a mortgage, you can absolutely do that. You just have to show a track record, usually like 2 to 3 years. We had to do that when we were getting a mortgage. We had to, you know, show all of our assets and show all of the income from those assets, and you have to show rent proof of it, everything. And then, of course, they're going to do their own analysis on whether that property is really worth what you say it is, and all of that. How much do you owe on and how many mortgages are outstanding on that property? So a lot of those things to consider. Again, just not quite sure I understand your question, but if you wanting to use income from your investment properties to get a mortgage, you can absolutely do that in addition to your stable income. I mean, they want to know what your stable income is. Do you have a day job? Are you self-employed? And then also, do you have 2 to 3 years track record of being self-employed with your own company? Chances are, you're probably not just solely using investment income to make your purchase. Maybe you are. But in that case, you're going to have to prove, again, multiple years of that investment income as a track record going forward so that they know that, you know, you're able to produce to pay back the mortgage. So anyway, I hope that helps if I understood your question correctly.
How could, at my age, just destroy the rat race daily, struggling to make a half decent living? I hope that you will give me a word of hope in this struggle in order to be free, in order to become free from the rat race that most of us hardworking people have to go for the rest of our life. I was watching your program. You just put some hope and strength, so I decided to reach out to see what you can do for someone that is trying to break loose from the rat race. In fact, daily rat race in order to make a just decent retirement. Thanks.
Thank you, Roman. Tough question there. So wants to know, like, what hope do I have to break out of this rat race in order to find financial freedom? You know, the thing is, you're not going to find financial freedom working in the system that they've constructed, okay? You need to break out of that system. They don't teach you to invest in real estate in school. They don't teach you to buy gold and silver. They don't teach you those things. What they teach you to do is go to school to work for somebody else in a W-2 job, and you become part of the system, okay? You will not break free and become financially free in that system. You will not. So then how do you break out of it? Does it require that you move to another location? Are you in such a high cost area right now, thanks to inflation, that it's eating up everything that's costing you for rent? Like, your rent is exorbitant. You know, the cost of groceries is exorbitant. Can you move to a much cheaper location at least? And then also then try to start to really navigate out of the rat race. You know, I would say you need to have multiple streams of income. I'm just got to be honest with you. Like, I have multiple streams of income that I created on purpose. I knew once I lost my job years ago and they said they weren't renewing my contract, it was my only source of income. It was terrifying. I thought my life was over. I had to move back in with my parents, for crying out loud. I had no money. It was awful. And I was on unemployment and, you know, money that I had paid into the system, but it was awful. It was really awful. And so I vowed then that I would never be tied to a boss and have someone tying my future to their, like, a paycheck again. So I started thinking about what could I do on the side to create side hustles, you know, that I was passionate about. whether it was, starting a website, starting some sort of e-commerce business, investing in real estate, all of these things. And that's exactly what I did. And I really just educated myself outside of the rat race to really move in that direction. You know, there's some great shows out there. I know there's a guy that does a show called The Side Hustle Show. I've liked that show for years. I think he does a great job, and it helps people like get a few extra $1,000 a month from different guests he has on the show, featuring different people that might be able to come up with great ideas that you might be able to do right from home to do as a side hustle, to be able to bring in some extra money that might be able to help you break free of this rat race. But I would say think about moving. You know, if it's just so brutal where you live and and the prices are going to continue to go up with inflation, can you get to a better location where you're treated better? And maybe that even means moving countries. I mean, I hate to say that, but might even be the case, you know? But at least to a city that's more affordable and where you can at least start saving some of that money to start reinvesting it in yourself. And it's so difficult right now with everything we're dealing with inflation. It's crazy. It is crazy. If you'd like to leave us a voicemail question, please come over to our website. Go to morrisinvest.com. Click on the microphone icon on the right side of your screen and leave us a voicemail question, and we will attempt to answer it here on the show. Thank you, guys. Much love to all of you, and we'll be back here next week.